a controversial aircraft kit manufacturer, makes new waves. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for the download. Today's conversation requires a little background. Mention Epic Aircraft in the presence of anyone in general aviation, and you're bound to get an opinion. Epic, the name under which Aircraft Investor Resources develops and markets its designs, has become associated with aggressively pushing the limits of the FAA's 51% rule, marketing kits for pressurized, turbine-powered aircraft with five seats or more. Among those least amused within the industry are competing manufacturers, which have raised and spent hundreds of millions of dollars to bring their new designs to FAA certification in the standard category. In August of 2005, a builder was told by the FAA that his newly completed Epic LT single-engine turboprop was not eligible for an experimental amateur-built airworthiness certificate, in part because a plane which could only be built in the manufacturer's facility couldn't possibly qualify. Well, in January of 2006, after months of investigation into the construction process, turns out, yes, it could. The FAA added the Epic LT to its list of kits approved for 51% status, provided builders use Epic's approved task list to document their builds. That confrontation is often cited as a major influence in the subsequent moratorium by the FAA on evaluating new additions to its 51% kit list. In the days following the standoff, the Experimental Aircraft Association publicly shared the FAA's concerns about possible abuses of the 51% rule. But EAA also defended in principle the idea that very complex aircraft should be allowed under its provisions. In the subsequent months, as the FAA has mulled changes in its administration of the 51% rule, Epic CEO Rick Schrammick confirmed rumors in late 2007 that his new partner would be flamboyant Kingfisher Airlines CEO Dr. Vijay Mallya, who was supposed to be bringing in $200 million to help move some of the company's experimentals toward full FAA type certification. Later, as has become a frequent tale of late, that offshore financing didn't work out. Schrammick has since found enough investment to continue moving forward, although at a reduced pace, and he now talks of partnering with other companies to certify his designs once the experimental versions have proven the demand. In 2009, Schrammick is excited about a new twin turboprop called the Epic Elegance, which can be equipped with up to 11 seats. A twin-engine jet is also under development, with first flight expected later this year. A five-seater called the Polar will be available with piston or turbine power plants. And a smaller aircraft called the Focus will be offered in four versions, ranging from a Rotax-powered LSA up through a 400-plus knot two-place turboprop hot rod. Whether you consider Epic's experimental first strategy a pox on the aviation industry, or consider Rick Schrammick the latest in a pantheon of American industrialists admired for their savvy exploitation of regulatory loopholes, or fall somewhere in the middle, two things are clear. First, Epic has repeatedly brought clean sheet designs from announcement to flying prototypes in astoundingly short time frames. And second, if given the chance to talk to Rick Schrammick for a few minutes and ask some questions, I think most of us would take the opportunity. I got that chance recently, and you probably won't. So here it is, starting with the seemingly miraculous pace at which new designs leap off the paper and into the air at Epic Aircraft.
I certainly don't believe that we're making miracles. We're a company that is very focused on developing product that the market wants, and it's my job to make sure that we deliver to that need.
All right, let's talk about the two new aircraft that you introduced today at the press conference. One of them is an LSA, a very crowded marketplace. Tell us about your new entry, what it's going to be called, and what will make it different and successful.
Well, the LSA and the Polar, those aircraft were designed by me in the year 2000, which was before LSAs, and it was actually designed as a two-place Reno race plane and as a two-place sport aircraft, which I was very interested in at the time, and flew. So it basically got put on the shelf while we did the few airplanes that we have now, which were upmarket aircraft, and the market really seems to want the Epic LT and the aircraft that we build. As this economy has done what it is, it really looked to me like it was the time to invest in to make sure that we had a family of products that could cover most every need. The reason that I built an LSA version was that my belief was most of the LSAs don't look like airplanes.
Really? I recall talking to the guys at Icon Aircraft, and they had research suggesting that too many of them looked like old airplanes.
Well, I guess there's a different reason for everything. I think that if you look at the people in Icon, they have their own views of things, and with Mr. Rayburn being on their board, they have their view of stuff, and you could maybe call that a little disruptive. I'm kind of a traditionalist. I believe that you can look like an airplane, but you don't have to look old, and that's really what composites give you. I don't think that you really need to be that much different. You do need to be sleek. You need to look fast. You need to look very sensual. I wouldn't call it sexual, but very sensual. Airplanes sell themselves on the ground. Good-looking aircraft sell.
Let's talk about the specifics of the two aircraft, starting with the two-place. Obviously, it's not going to be a Reno Air Racer and make LSA specs, so what will the specs be?
Well, the airplane actually, from the firewall back of the fuselage, will be the same on all the aircraft. There are four different versions. The wing dramatically changes as you get away from LSA, and obviously firewall forward changes. The ability to have retract landing gear and fixed gear change with the wing. So it becomes actually reasonably, since you're changing firewall forward, since you're changing wings, you can go into a retract configuration pretty well. But the cockpit fuselage side, the tail feathers, actually fit both of those environments. And certainly my CFD modeling and all of the engineering that I've done certainly bear that, and I guess we'll see.
All right, what are you going to call them?
Those aircraft will all be called different versions of Focus. Hopefully not as in Ford, but basically the Focus is focus on a two-place aircraft, a high-performance or a sporty two-place aircraft, something we all can fly.
All right. Now, you mentioned during the press conference that your projected time frame is Oshkosh next year. Coming from anybody else, that would be an outrageous statement, but you seem to have the ability, and your engineering team does, to pull beautiful, finished-looking aircraft out of thin air in like 6 months' time. What is it that you do that makes that possible?
One, I think we have an incredibly talented team. We talk about focus, and we stay focused on the aircraft and do not allow feature creep. So if we decide that it's something that we think the market would want, that is what we build. So I really, really keep my guys focused on building that aircraft. When with our technology, our composite technology specifically, in manufacturing practices, we have built airframes in very, very few parts, which means very, very few molds. And that has allowed us, we figured out how to do it in 6 months or less.
The FAA has indicated its long-awaited clarification of how it will interpret the 51% rule is imminent. What impact will the expected tweaks in the application of the rule have on the company many feel ignited the debate? More with Epic Aircraft's Rick Schrammick in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin WAS Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest today is Rick Schrammick, CEO of Epic Aircraft. It is expected that the FAA's announcement of how it will administer the 51% rule going forward will be announced any minute now. How might any changes affect the business model at Epic Aircraft?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I would disagree with you. I think that the new rules and regulations, I have been on the ART committee for 3.5 years, and really the new interpretation of the existing regulations, they did not change regulations, so we need to be real care about that. But in their interpretations of that, working with the manufacturers very closely as the FAA has, I don't see that any of us will dramatically change the way we do our business. Our model has proved to be certainly well within the regulation, and we don't see much change in the near future, and we will continue to be building experimental aircraft.
Okay, the other question I had to ask you when I knew I was going to get to talk to you today was, I remember watching you sitting on a four-person panel about the future of VLJs less than a year ago, and half of that panel has attrited since then. What is it about your business model that allows you to do these things when some really big competitors cannot?
I think it's reasonably simple. We have no debt. We have funded this entire program on our own revenue. There are basically three of us in the company. So when you have no debt, when you focus on very conservative designs, I don't think you see our stuff are basically a packaging design. We use off-the-shelf technology. Nothing is disruptive. Everything has already been proven before, and it's been around for usually multiple years, tens of years. That's kind of how we're doing it. And the other, probably the single key thing, is unlike just an aircraft company that starts up and goes into, I'm going to become a certified aircraft company, you can generate zero revenue. All you do is spend money. Our business model from day one, and will continue as long as I'm involved in it, to say, generate revenue, prove the market for the aircraft, certify the aircraft.
So experimental is in its truest sense here. These aircraft are a whole fleet of proof of concept aircraft in a sense.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonably accurate statement. What I see Epic as is a development company. We really develop products that we think that the market wants, and ultimately I think what you'll see is that Epic will partner with people to bring that product further into certification. I think that's kind of where the future are. We're just kind of maybe the new Rutan. Burt Rutan, we're the new scale composites that people want to maybe build lots of. So yeah, we're a development company.
All right, well, watch the developments as they go forward on all the models on epicaircraft.com.
That'll do it. You'll keep up with it there and come to the shows.
Well, keep surprising us, and thanks for taking some time out today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks very much.
The controversy over selling pressurized turbine aircraft as experimentals is not likely to end soon. But in the current economy, and given the current regulatory load, has it become the only feasible way for a small startup company to develop a new jet or turboprop? At NBAA 2008, one of the best attended panels was a discussion on the future of very light jets. Among the four panelists chosen, three represented developers of VLJs. Those developers included Epic Aircraft, Eclipse Aviation, and AAI Acquisition, which had just taken over the assets of bankrupt Atom Aircraft. All three had previously announced offshore financing deals, and all three subsequently had those plans fall through. Significantly, Epic is the only one of the three producing a VLJ today. Rick Schrammick is CEO of Epic Aircraft. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.